one of these cases where somebody working very hard and found a not guilty verdict from a jury was in Cumbria, Leslie Gibson. And Mark is here today, and he's our next speaker. So please welcome Mark Gibson.
Hi, I'm Mark Gibson, and I'm a prospective candidate for Penrith and the Border. I'm also, as Alan says, the husband of MS sufferer Leslie, who was acquitted last year for possession of cannabis at Carlisle Crown Court. The laughable thing is the amount. It was only 8 grams. Leslie could have accepted a caution that was gingerly offered by the prosecution and taken back at a later date and denied it was ever offered in the first place. She could have basically put in a guilty verdict, but she's decided to stand up for the medicinal users. I think basically if she'd have thought about the hardship and the stress of the court case, she'd have just taken the caution in the first place. Her health's never been 100% since then. Basically, I'm thanking her for what she did for the medicinal users. This year, I'd like to talk about mostly about the medicinal use and supply to people like Leslie who are and have been prepared to stand up for the rights of others. I don't think there's anybody in this room that's in any doubt that cannabis is known to relieve the more distressing symptoms of MS. Anybody doubt that? No. It's been shown in clinical trials and anecdotal evidence from medicinal users that cannabis relieves the symptoms of MS. It's been proven in Crown Courts up and down the land that cannabis relieves the symptoms of MS. It's universally accepted that cannabis relieves the symptoms of MS. I'm not saying that cannabis is a cure for MS, but it's the only treatment for MS that has no adverse side effects, unlike conventional medicine. It noticeably reduces pain and spasticity within seconds. It's the one treatment that could be made readily available and affordable to all those who require it. The government, in its infinite wisdom, not only refuses to reconsider its stand on medicinal use of cannabis, but continues to prosecute and persecute medicinal users for their use of cannabis when they should be prescribing it. So, if the government will not supply cannabis to those who need it, and you'll have to wait till 2004 at the earliest, they say, before they'll license it, I feel with my knowledge of the therapeutic benefits of cannabis in relation to the treatment of MS, that I should do all I can to help medicinal users get access to their chosen medicine. During the course of the last year, especially the months prior to Leslie's trial, we were contacted by many people who suffer from MS, offering their support for what Leslie was doing, and giving us tales of their cannabis use. What became apparent after listening and reading these testaments was that, on the whole, the medicinal users were being ripped off by dodgy dealers up and down the land, short waits, poor quality soap bar and sticks and seed. Pretty much the same as all the recreational users, you're probably thinking, but when it's a disabled person getting ripped off for their medicine, it makes me sick. So, Leslie and myself set up a small network of MS sufferers, similar to the MMCO, who use cannabis medicinally. Coordinated by myself, the aim is to supply medicinal cannabis in an emergency situation. For example, the patient's normal supply is exhausted. These people include, and they're quite happy to be named, Claire Hodges of ACT, Biz Ival, you go check a freezer out, Hamish Crisp, Andrew Caldwell and Bill Reeves, all of them medicinal cannabis users who suffer from MS. So we're technically dealers, sort of, not really. There's no cash transaction whatsoever. We do not supply any recreational user or anyone else for profit. How it works is like this. The medicinal user sends us a stamped addressed envelope, which is then forwarded to someone who is able to donate any surplus supply. This is then returned to the patient. Well, it does usually, unless the postman dips it, which has happened. Unfortunately, it was Biz once again who was ripped off. Unfortunately, we cannot possibly consider supplying any more people than we are at present time due to demand exceeding available donated supplies. And what we do supply, as must add, is only for medicinal users. Now, whilst I would not wish to encourage anyone to break the law, I feel it's essential. We cannot supply all of these people, and there are many more that contact us. We can only send out a parcel when we've received a donation from elsewhere. So what I'm suggesting is that you consider sponsoring a medicinal user, either directly or through us yourself. If anyone here feels they can help the supply of medicinal cannabis to those who really genuinely need it, talk to me later. If you think there's money to be made or there's some sort of scam, don't bother. These people have been exploited by the government and the greed of dealers for long enough. Enough is enough. Put your hand in your pocket, consider it a tax, and help someone less fortunate than yourself. I'd like to point out at this point I've personally received objections and veiled threats from various people objecting me to stand for election for the LCA. They refuse to accept that our supply to the sick is 100% free of charge and profit free. They believe the LCA is a front for production and supply of cannabis for profit to fund our election campaign. Hilarious. This is a complete fairy tale. I'll be more than happy for any one of you in this room or anybody else to have a look at our accounts at any reasonable time. All of our fundraising basically has come from benefit gigs in and around Cumbria and Busy's Bears that she was making and we've been selling. We've had various raisers, including a not guilty party following Leslie's acquittal last year, which raised about 600 quid. We were lucky enough to book up Howard Marcus's gig in Whitehaven, pulled out the best part of £200 out of the audience there. Chumbawamba, the famous anarchist band, they let us book at their gig and we pulled out 100 odd quid there. And then we had a band called Mostly Autumn, which I think was probably a success last month. We had to apply for a license to sell alcohol. We were told it wouldn't be a problem to get the license and it would just be stamped in the local magistrate's court. So I sent the local bar manager to go and get the license. I got a telephone call basically an hour before the court's due to shut saying our license has been refused because they would be licensing an illegal event. So I jumps in the car and travels across Cumbria and manages to get in the court within 2-3 minutes of them saying, sorry, Mr. Gibson, time out, you can't see, we won't hear you, it's that case. Basically, they'd objected because there would be licensing illegal events, as I said. I argued the case for legalised cannabis alliance and the freedom of speech and the right to gather. The court usher then basically stood up and said, Article 8, 12 and 16 of the Human Rights Act. The magistrates left and came back about 10 minutes later and gave me a license to sell alcohol, which I thought was particularly strange, a cannabis campaigner campaigning to sell alcohol at a cannabis benefit-raising gig. But strange things are going on. Basically, we've now raised £1,454 with the £10 in donation I was given earlier. We can now just field the three candidates in Cumbria, myself, John Peacock and Colin Paisley. We're going to continue fundraising and having benefit gigs. Any further profit will go to a campaign, booing posters, etc. in the Cumbria area. Should we raise too much money, and we'll look at funding another candidate somewhere else. That's me. If anybody wants to ask me a question, please ask it. All right, Howard. I've got my jacket on, because it might just need a quick getaway in a moment.
Yeah.